Don't leave me. I'm here. I'm I know you're about to pull out because let me
I've
tell
got
you.
It. I have it in dynamic, which means it really would fill out.
Because I'm 30 minutes late.
Yep.
But it's time for another episode of Who's Driving? Welcome to Who's Driving? I'm Wesley Turner.
And I'm Stephen Merck. We're two best friends and entrepreneurs.
Who's Driving is an entertaining look into the behind the scenes of our lives, friendship, and business.
These are the stories we share and topics we discuss as two best friends would on a long road trip.
Along the way, we'll check in with friends and offer a wide range of informative topics centered around running small businesses, social media, and all things home and garden.
Buckle up and enjoy the ride. You never know who's driving or where we're headed.
All we know is it's always a fun ride. Sorry I'm late this week.
It's okay. We all have our moments.
Okay.
I wish you had just told me because I had a few errands. But you know what? I'll run them after. It's fine. It's fine. We've got all the time in the world. But I have a question for you.
Oh, you start now.
I have a question.
Now. Hot and heavy here. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. What?
Did you spend some time Herkel and Dirkling today?
Oh, good Lord. Well.
Do you like to Herkel Dirkle? I know you're my best friend, so I know you like to Herkel Dirkle.
I do not even know. I need. Can you
don't know what Herkel Dirkling is?
You use Herkel Dirkle in a sentence? Herkel-durkle.
Every morning when I wake up,
I don't always herkle-durkle.
I like to herkle-durkle.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, goodness. What are you talking about?
You don't herkle-durkle.
I've never heard of herkle-durkle. Herkle-durkle?
Okay. Yeah.
Herkle-durkle.
Herkle-durkle. So I'm going to pull up the dictionary of it.
Is this actually a word, a phrase?
It's a phrase.
Slang?
No, it's not slang. It's something. There's a song, Herkle Durkle. That's not what I was going for.
Oh, my goodness. You have thrown me off with Herkle Durkle.
Herkle Durkle refers to people lying in the bed past the time they're meant to get up. Think sleeping through the alarm and missing work or lounging under the covers instead of meeting your business partner and making that appointment. There's no sense of guilt about having a herkle-durkle.
I do herkle-durkle most mornings.
Yeah. You are a herkle-durkler. You're a herkle-durkler.
I am a herkle-durkler.
But you know, you're either,
Daniel is not most days.
No, he's not a herkle-durkler.
Alarm goes off, most days, and he jumps right up, and he's perky.
You're either a herkle-durkler or you're not a herkle-durkler. Yeah.
Oh my.
Herkle-durkler.
Herkle-durkler.
Durkler.
No idea where that one was.
I was like, what is Herkle Dirkling? So I saw it, or Dylan saw it on one of us.
Yeah.
Saw it on Instagram or something. And I was like, what in the world? So, of course, I called one of our mutual friends and said, do you like to Herkle Dirkle? She didn't fall for it. She was like, I don't know what that means. But she was already Googling Herkle Dirkle before I could.
Say anything. Yeah.
She knows me too well. But it kind of got me to thinking and laughing at some of the stuff that I grew up with family saying, you know, being from the South.
Oh, growing up country.
Yes. And it's so funny. Like, I don't think some people would even know what we're saying sometimes. And I don't think they
because I left small town Tennessee and I went to Mississippi State University, which is also a Southern thing, but they had such a diverse group of students because Mississippi State at the time only had, I think there were only two, I don't remember, but had a golf program. I forget what you call it, but anyway, like a golf management program. Mm-hmm. Not that they also did the grass part.
So there were fancy people
from all over the country, you know, California, up north.
So you had turf management and all those kind of people that were going to get into that.
Yes, but also the physical, like the actual managing golfer, like golf program.
Oh, type school.
So the actual sport.
Oh, so.
I forget what you call it.
So
people who were really good at golf would come there who like.
Golf pros and stuff.
That sort of thing. So anyway.
Fancy. I didn't know that.
And then I would say things and they would be like,
what?
What we, I have no idea what you're saying.
And I know one word you said.
Runt.
It's runt.
The milk is runt. No, it is ruined. Mm-hmm. And I had to cry. I taught myself so many new words. Like I would literally be like, okay, Wesley, you have got to retrain your brain.
Well, I was talking to one of our friends,
one
of our mutual friends, and she said, my light bill, $260. And she said, do you say light bill or power bill? And I say power.
You do?
Power bill.
Power bill.
Electric. I say power.
Yeah. The electric bills do, is what I say.
No, I say power, but. My dad says
light bill.
My grandparents light bill. My mother never did.
I feel like a ton of people, especially probably older generations, refer to it as light bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes, you know, like my grandmother didn't have power growing up until a certain age. Then at the time, I guess it only powered
light.
Really.
I get why they said it.
Yeah. And so then that's passed down, light bills due to the next generation. Mm-hmm.
That's all my grandparents said, light bill. You need to close that you need to close that refrigerator. You didn't put the R-E.
No, it's refrigerator. Or fridge.
Yeah. Close that refrigerator. It's going to run the light bill up.
That is,
but I, no, my mother great. Didn't say, my mother was a grammar Nazi and she typically said things correctly. Can you imagine as country as I am, if my mother hadn't been that way, I would have been like,
you kind of are.
It would have been worse.
The funny thing is you have made fun of, or you think you're being funny and say words all the time incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and I tried to tell you for years, but now that's your regular vocabulary. So you cannot play it off like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. You will say it in a sentence when you're not meaning it to be funny because that is now the way you talk. You have corrected yourself to say it wrong. A lot of words.
Like
and I tried to warn you.
Like that, sconces. Yeah. I say scunches.
Mm-hmm.
So I passed that off to somebody else because I kept calling them skunches.
Uh-huh.
So one of our other friends said, I can't even say the word now. I call them skunches. And I was like,
that's what you do. You played around too much.
It's fine. You know, it is. It's funny.
It is funny. But when you think about learning things such as light bill and you learn it that way, you never question it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, why would you? That's all you heard.
You just call it the light bill. You don't think, oh, the refrigerator is not going to run up the light bill because that's all the power bill
or electricity
bill. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't think behind
it. No. And I never thought about it.
But
that
was
the first time I thought about it.
And this isn't a country thing, but also like calling, you know, a traffic light, a stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, at the stoplight.
Or the red light.
Red light.
That's a southern thing. Red light. Go to that red light and take a left.
Yeah. Well, what if it's green at the time? You know, it's a traffic light.
Yes, it's a traffic light. But yeah, we say red light. You take a left at that red light right there.
I love when you put your country on, even country. Yeah,
that's the way it's, you know, and I embrace my country. I know I'm country. I'm just thankful that I had a stickler for a mother so that I do actually know the appropriate way to speak.
Yeah.
Now, whether I do that or not is two different things.
So let us know, if you're listening out there, what is your country phrase or words that you love to say?
Or if you're not in the South, like what is something in up north that you don't say
or
that we wouldn't know?
Yeah. Or something that you hear Southern say and you don't really know what it is.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell is that?
On our hotline. Our hotline number is 864-982-5029. You can also find it in the show notes below as well. I'm trying to think of other ones besides rurt.
I mean, there's all kinds of things in the South. Like one time I was telling a story about my cousins going cooter hunting. And I can't remember who I was in front of. And they were like, what? And yeah. I said, cooter hunting. And you could tell they just did not know what that was. I'm like, yeah, they go cooter hunting, and then sometimes they get snakes too. And they were like, what? And I'm like, it's mud turtles.
Yeah.
And in the South, it's cooter hunting.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if that's that way up north.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do they call them that universally?
Is it cooter hunting? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you know, but
I
here
mean,
you go, you can go coon,
southern
you
right
can
now.
Go cooter hunt, and you can go coon hunting, raccoons.
Yeah.
We call those coons, and then mud turtles are cooters. I mean, there's no telling what all we say that people are like, what?
What are you talking about? Uh-huh. I'm trying to think just regular vocabulary, other words that I would say that was very southern.
Oh, here's one that I do say.
Yeah, what is
it? I do say this.
What is it?
And it just hit me the other day. I actually say that. I reckon. What the hell's a reckon?
I reckon.
I don't
is
think
that
that's
not a
word.
Word? I mean, I don't think I really say I reckon, but I know what it means.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon so. Or what about, I know, you know, fixin' to. I'm fixin' to.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of I'm about to.
I'm fixing to.
Yeah,
my mother didn't like that either.
That's another one. There is one on the tip of my tongue that I can't remember.
Oh, it's an informal word. It means to think or suppose something, to believe that something is true or possible. I reckon that we'll have to leave early. Do you reckon we'll be able to get to the grocery store after work? So I guess it's fine to say, I reckon.
I reckon. How do you spell reckon? Like, see, I wouldn't use it because I wouldn't even know how to...
R-E-C-K-O-N. Reckon.
Reckon.
I reckon. Huh. I reckon.
Oh, the other one is, and this is more of a phrase thing, and I think a lot of people say this, but might as well. Might as well.
I don't say that. My mother would have slapped me.
Instead of might as well.
No, I didn't say that.
Might as well. I think I still say
all that. Those things, real like certain things, like my grandparents said, my grandmother mm-hmm. said, instead of chance, you know, if I have a chance, I'll do that.
Yeah.
She didn't say chance. She said change.
Change.
Change is a big Southern thing.
Oh. And I don't think my family used change.
That may be a South Carolina thing.
Change.
Change. I hadn't had a change to do it.
Instead of chance.
Uh-huh. I mean,
my grandmother, her whole life called Walmart, Walmart.
Walmart. A lot of Walmart. People do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have a little bit of a riddle for you. Are you on your toes?
Gosh. Let me.
Get your brain centered?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm fixing to be.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
What comes twice in a week and once in a year? What comes twice in a week and once in a year?
What comes twice in a week?
And there's so many ways that could go, but what comes twice in a week and once in a year? Do, 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 do. You're so good at riddles.
Twice in a week.
And once in a year. If you're out there, let us know. Text us before he gives the answer. 864-982-5029. What comes twice in a week and once in a year?
E.
Yes. You are correct. You got it.
I was thinking like days of week.
E comes twice in a week and once in a year.
Yeah. I was thinking days of week and I was like, no. Yeah. And then I thought numbers. I was like, no. And then I said, oh, let me. And so then I got it.
Well, when I saw the riddle.
Did you get it?
No, I did not get it. And my brain went way many different directions than sourcing out the letters there.
Another thing that Southerners would say, or my family, let's say country. I don't know. Maybe it was just Pickens County. I don't know.
I
put some money back.
Oh, put some money back. Mm-hmm. Instead of saving it.
You need to put some back.
Yeah. Where did that come from? Put some back. Because where are you putting it back instead of saving it? Like, I'm just thinking, is that shortened version of doing something back in the day before, you know, saving money a certain way? Because, you know, now you would say you need to save some of that or whatever, or invest or whatever.
It's a phrasal verb. To put something back means to delay it or arrange it for to happen later than you previously planned.
Well, that has nothing to do with money, put it back.
Or here, it also means to work very hard at something, to put a lot of effort. If you want that floor clean, you'll have to put some back. Oh.
Back into it.
Yeah.
Now we can talk about putting some back into it.
It means to return something to its usual place or the place where it was before it was moved. That's literal. But in South Carolina, it means save some money.
Well, you remember years ago, I wish I still had that voicemail. That would be so fine. I wonder if I can dig that out.
Probably got more money put back than most of them women.
Uh-huh. So we had a lady, we haven't heard from her in probably 10 years now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, she loved us and now she hates us, evidently.
I think she moved or something, or who knows what happened to this poor lady. But anyway, she would come into the garden store at events. She would only come during open house. For the drinks and food. And then she would always call. So it's been a long time
because she did it
for like the first 3 or 4 mm-hmm. years. Surely I have that voicemail somewhere.
I thought I had
She would call and leave us voicemails.
Well, she would get drunk.
Yeah.
Because she would be intoxicated.
Right.
You could tell. She would, I'm not going to say her whole name, but her name's Pat.
Yeah.
And she would say,
"This is Pat.
This is Pat." And I just wanted to tell you. Like she had smoked like 8 cartons of cigarettes and she said, "I just wanted to tell you it wasn't that good as good this year as it was last year." She would eat and eat, bless her heart. It was the event she waited on all year.
Yes.
And I do want to say this, it was her event and it was a big deal to her. And we welcomed her and we were very sweet to her and we were very kind to her.
Yes.
And because we said that, we said, you know, this is her big holiday event for the year. So we tried to be really sweet to her. But then she got mean.
Yeah, she would get drunk afterwards or whatever after her big night out. And she would every year call and leave us a voicemail after hours with the review of the event. What we did wrong. And so one year, because our events got to be so big, we had, we still do. Have amazing mm-hmm. food. Well, mm-hmm. one year we got a caterer to cater it for free for us to promote her business mm-hmm. for holiday events.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was there with this amazing setup, but she was also, we had so many people, she was like serving, you know, spooning it out or like.
It wasn't like buffet style.
No, it was, you walk down the line and she was serving it. And that mm-hmm. gave her the opportunity to talk to you. Hey, I can host your mm-hmm. party and promote her business.
And tell you about the food. And
yes. Well, Pat didn't like that because she had to call us that night and tell us how I'm going to find the. I know I can find
that
somewhere.
That ain't the good Southern way.
Yeah. And it ain't like last year. And the servings were too small and the women were looking at me.
Looking and a gawking.
That's what she said.
Gawking. That's another gawking.
Yeah. That's what she said. Looking and a gawking. And the drinks this year were just a little gulp.
Little gulp swaller.
And she said, and I have more money put back than most of them. That's where I got it from. And she was saying how she had more put back than most of the women in there. Oh, I miss Pat now that I think about it. We would always wait to see what the voicemail was going to be because she would give us a little review on how we did.
Oh, and it was always good. And it was always left at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
And she would have like Elvis music. I swear, surely there's an old iPhone with that still on it somewhere.
Bless her heart. She wore makeup like a clown. I mean, seriously, it was
like, what was not RuPaul? What was the
on Drew Carey?
Drew Carey,
the woman. That's what she looked like.
Mimi. Was that her name?
Yeah, wasn't it Mimi on Drew Carey?
I mean,
the
identical.
Southern version of that.
Size, look, everything. She was that. Oh, I miss Pat. For years, I was like, oh, Pat didn't come this year.
Or no.
And she didn't. I don't know what happened to Pat. Anyway, wow, that was random.
That was, yeah, but you know.
Good old days with Pat. I'm going to search somewhere and find her.
We had it.
I know. I mean,
we kept it for years.
Yes, I know. I have to have a file somewhere.
You should say, hello. So, I went shopping this weekend.
Oh, do tell.
And
I'm assuming it was somewhere bougie.
It was.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Didn't let me down.
Yes. We went to the mall in Charlotte, South Park Mall. It's the only mall that I'm aware of other than Las Vegas that I will go to that I enjoy.
Oh,
okay. It's actually a great experience, but we walked in and I've never had this happen. And I thought it was very weird. All of the air conditioning was out in the whole mall.
Oh, that's weird.
It was weird. The only stores that had air conditioning, thank God, were the anchor stores on each end because, you know, they're separate building, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so stuffy, but it wasn't bad. It was maybe 78 in there, 80.
Yeah.
But what cracked me up is like some of the high end stores like Gucci and St. John and some others, they closed. They just couldn't. They put notes out. They couldn't take the heat. And I'm like, you know, I had to say this. I said, you know, 30 years in McDonald's. I know you don't like hearing McDonald's, but do you know how many times the air would break in the middle of the summer? And I mean, I've had both units in the kitchen go at the same time. And it's like 105 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been attacked and killed if we had said, we're closing. It's a little too warm in here.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who closes the? I mean,
but that's the difference between a small business and a big corporation. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to close it down. If you're a small business.
Well, you know, at the garden store, not our current one, but the previous location, the air went out like several times in the middle of summer, and you prop the doors open and
put
turn
a fan
on some fans and you keep on going.
That's the difference between big business and small business.
Mm-hmm.
You see who's got
because first of all, we had to sell something to pay for the damn air conditioner to get fixed.
Right. But, and then the flip side of it, if I was paying that kind of rent, because I imagine that rent is ridiculous because of all that whole mall's high end.
Yeah.
I would be mad as hell. But it worked out, and it worked out for Neiman Marcus because we made it through the hot ass mall and we made it there and we just stayed there the whole time till it was time to go.
Oh. So you stayed in Neiman Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Now was their air out too?
No, it was fine. All the anchor stores
because they had their own system.
So it worked. I mean, and really, that's the reason I go.
But why would the individual stores not each have their own unit?
Evidently not. Because, you know, I had to ask. I said, well, when we first walked in, I said, oh, we need to get out of this wing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the air's broken in this wing because there's
huge
wings. Which
is also weird. Yeah.
But then
it wasn't just contained.
So finally, before Gucci shut down, I asked, like, what in the hell's going on? And they were like, the air's broken. The only stores are the anchor stores. I was like, that's interesting. You know, just from, you know, from, like, I thought they would have had a lot of units. Like, yeah. What would take it out? Unless it was an electrical panel or something that went.
That's bizarre.
I thought it was really odd.
Well, guess what? I found the voice memo from Pat.
No.
Should we play it?
We totally should.
Okay, let me.
This is going to be good. You got to send me that. Okay. Because what if you hadn't been able to find it? How did you find it?
I just searched and I had sent it to Central at some point. Mm-hmm. And it came up in our text messages. Let me get her
hooked up
to this. And here's Pat.
Urgent voice message from Pat Black. Today at 5:43 a.m.
I have something to say about your Martinis and Mistletoe this year. Excuse me. Very disappointing. Pat Black will hear. Came last year, had bought stuff off and on in there from your store. Thought it was a wonderful store. But I tell you what, go back to the old way you had it last year. Me and a lot of others left with
a lot
the same
of others.
Conversations mm-hmm. as we went out the door. Go back to the bartender doing the martinis. Don't have them sitting in a pitcher already made up with a little gal pouring them in little bitty tiny glasses that was barely one gulp.
Gulp.
That you had to sell slowly to keep them swallowing it all at one time. Food that was setting out like last year where you could go and get what you wanted without being gawked at and watched people talking and looking and everything you were saying and doing, afraid to look like you're again gawking and looking, afraid somebody was going to get a few more pieces of what was there than what they should. And don't have a woman in there selling jewelry from China when this is America. That is.
To listen to this message, press 1.
It's a 3-part.
Yes,
she ran out of time.
Urgent voice message.
Urgent.
What is that?
Steve today at 5:46 a.m.
5:46 a.m.
Continue. What really turned me off, as I was saying, and so many others, jewelry from China. This is America. I was complimenting the lady on her beautiful jewelry, and then, did you make this yourself? No, it's from China. Well, I almost went off right then. That's what's wrong right now.
The jewelry, it was a pearl that was from China.
It was pieces.
Really, and a lot cheaper than a lot of that.
Right.
And, you know, she was just bragging about it. She had a friend that goes to China and has this made. When people right here, and that's what's wrong right now, people doing this, there's too much of this going on right here that has took our jobs away. I've worked for companies. I've worked for factories. I've worked for production plants and stuff and lost our jobs to China and other foreign countries like that. And it just burns me up. You got people, like I say, right here in this good old hometown areas, right around here, who would have been proud to come there and display their homemade works, not have somebody saying, I almost went off on, I almost told her what I thought. But like I say, I don't think that was right. And two, I think the catering sucks. It should have been again like last year because people don't want these people. They're no better than me.
To listen to this message, press 1. To respond, message saved. Next message. Urgent voice message. Pat received today at 5:49 a.m.
There was some workers in there that would have never spoke. Some of them never spoke. The only way I got the one behind the register to speak to me, the older lady with glasses, short hair, And the other one with the long hair, when I came in the door, I said, oh, how pretty it looks. No, it's time for that, you are to believe. Then when I asked for a card or asked about the drawing, what to fill out, and then, you know, the gentleman had to hunt something to fill out, which was the card. They wasn't even set up for that. Y'all wasn't even set up for that.
Some things never change.
My tennis shoes, my socks, and my shirts and my blue and white shirt. You know, I didn't deck out to come over there like some did, but they're no better than I am because I probably made more money than the biggest majority in there and probably got more put back than a lot of them there.
Highfalutin!
I didn't say nothing to that woman about the China jewelry. I tried to hold my tongue, but I'm sure a lot felt the same because a lot walked out that door disgusted just like I was. Again, like I say, last year, go back to that way. That was the good old Southern style way. And that was so much better than all that hoopla yesterday. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I mean, she really gave us a dressing down. And first of all.
But she did that. I don't know where the other ones are.
Right,
she
three did, times.
She did that like three.
Different times.
Years in a row.
Yeah.
She would call and give us a review of mm-hmm. that. Poor Pat.
I know.
And then it was funny because then she would come in usually just for that and maybe because we did spring open houses too.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come in for that too. But then all the employees, you know, we played that.
But first of all,
they would all like Pat's here and like, you know,
but there were
dote on her.
They did. And there were 8,000 people that shows up at the event.
Right.
So the fact that she didn't think every employee spoke to her, they couldn't.
Right.
It's yeah. not even freaking possible.
But that goes to being maybe out of pocket and self-conscious about being in a different environment.
I guess. And then the lady with the jewelry, she had pieces that were from China, like
well, it was a
pearls.
It was a specific pearl. I don't remember back in the day. Like this one was that was
it was circa, expensive.
I'm gonna say 2012.
We were in both 13. Stores. We were in both buildings that time.
So, but that would have been like 11 or 12.
Would it?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
But yeah, it was expensive jewelry.
Yeah.
And it was handmade. But I guess you can't help where the pearls come from.
Yeah. I know that. But that's a whole different discussion because that goes to like, we were talking about that in a live sale the other day about being made in America and, you know,
and we're all for that. But
yeah. And we try to literally find what we can made in America, but it's absolutely not always possible. Mm-mm. And what I was saying is there's a misconception of being made in America for some of the.
Some of it's just put together in America.
Yeah. And it's a fine line. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you have someone who, like I was saying, makes candles, a mm-hmm. small local business mm-hmm. that makes candles, but yet they get their wax from China, the vessel from China, mm-hmm. the wick from China, the scent, the
or wherever it could be Ecuador
or from any other country. But they got all those pieces and then they poured it in their garage or basement, or maybe they have a factory and they melted it and put it together, and then they call it made in America. Well, you assembled it, and yes, mm-hmm. you touched all those pieces, but the support of the foreign country is no different than us importing home decor, putting it on our shelves here mm-hmm. in America, and then our people are boxing it and shipping it out. Mm-hmm. It's really the same.
It's really hard to know. But,
like, the same support is there. Like, the company that we bought it is in mm-hmm. America. And so it's gone to their warehouse in America. And then we're supporting that company that is in America. Mm-hmm. And then it's coming to our warehouse, and you're supporting us in America. So the same American support is there, even as it is for someone who can say it was made in America, but they got all the individual pieces from a foreign country. And, so there's a very fine line.
And it's vice versa, too, because we make a lot of parts here, like for BMW.
Right.
Here in Greenville County, and it ends up in Europe or
wherever.
Right.
And it's the same.
And it is. It's that fine line of being supportive of Made in America. And mm-hmm. I get the we want to support Made in America, but supporting, my point is supporting someone who assembles all the pieces.
You're still supporting America.
Is supporting that mm-hmm. person who's living here in America, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is no different than you supporting our business mm-hmm. here in America, mm-hmm. even though the product came from
wherever.
China.
Or
whatever, you know, I'm just referencing
yeah.
that for,
two. Yeah,
that's, we have gotten off one way too many yeah. different.
I mean, all I've got to say is here. I'm voting for her for president. I mean, after that speech, I mean,
but she loved to call and read us up and then she'd be back right at the,
she's funny.
The last,
and one. She would be, she was really nice. I just don't know if someone offended her or they heard her, you know. I don't know.
I don't know either, but she came in for years, and then we haven't seen her in a long time. I searched in my phone, Pat Blackwell, and I have a text message from Daniel from 2014 that says, Pat just came in. It was like in November of 2014. I'm like...
I mean, she was older. She could have passed away. I don't...
She could don't have know. Or moved or... Who knows?
But I loved some of the words she said. The highfalutin.
Highfalutin. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So tell us, if you're not from the South, or even if you are, do you know what highfalutin is?
Yeah. Do you know what highfalutin is? Our text number again is in the show notes below, but it's 864-982-5029. And I know Pat was early on because she came to like the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Of our, if she didn't come to year one, she was definitely year two.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were like the first 3 years or first 4 years that we were open. And I remember the one the year before, I don't have that one, was a very similar, you know.
I don't remember.
Reading us. Yeah. But at the time we were such new business, I was like, who is this? Like, yeah. Who did we offend?
All concern.
I was all concerned. And then, she came back in, like, you know, the spring one. Well, I left that mess. Like, she told us, like, I left that. Are y'all going to let me back in here after I left that message at Christmas or something like that? And then I was like, oh, Lord. Yes.
And it was fun. I mean, it was, you know,
it was fun. It's good times, though.
It was. And, you know, that was her.
Like you said, event and outing.
It was. That's what
her
my mother
event.
You know, because I told my mother about that back then, and she said, always be nice to her. That's her outing for the year.
Right.
And I was like,
well,
you know,
we try to be nice to
everybody.
To everyone.
But even though when she was leaving mean messages, my mom still said that. She's like, yeah. Well, she's.
I know. And you know, you never know what someone has put back, or you can't judge by their
clothing. You never know. You know, I went to, I'll never forget this. I went to a Lexus dealership. I thought I wanted a Lexus,
mm-hmm.
not knocking Lexus or anything. It was just the people. And I was much younger and I was buying a car and I was writing a check for the car, for a company car. And I had on a t-shirt, pretty much like I look.
Right.
I had on... Because I wasn't working that day. I had on a t-shirt, jeans with holes in them, and flip-flops and a cap.
Uh-huh.
And they treated me like...
Scum.
Yeah. And I didn't say anything. I was just like, I'm really turned off by these people.
And I'm leaving.
So I went down the street, and I bought a new BMW.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go by there and go...
That kind of happened to... Well, that's happened once to my mom. I remember as a kid, I don't remember how old I was, but she was at the BMW place in Memphis or whatever, and that kind of happened. Mm-hmm. She left and went to the Mercedes place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened to me, and it probably still happens to us and we don't know it.
It's happened to us at Market,
But
too.
I was saying at Market. It's happened to me mm-hmm. definitely at Market, because mm-hmm. when we go to Market, I dress comfortable.
For comfort.
I mean, I dress what I have on now, a mm-hmm. black t-shirt.
We're not there to impress.
And I'm not there to impress. And mm-hmm. I'm spending my money
uh-huh.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there, don't treat me any different. Mm-mm. But there has been some blatant times, and especially when I was younger And we, you know, because we started the garden shop, I was, what, 28? Mm-hmm. But I even had a store before that when I was in college. And I still remember, like, I would go and ask for, back then, a catalog. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to take this home. And they would be like, well, we really save our catalogs for, I don't know what they said. But, you know, like, not potential customers, but like...
their customers.
Yeah. Like, someone who's really going to buy, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, we know you're not really going to buy, so we're not going to give you a catalog. But if you would like to order while you're here, you can, sort of thing. I mean, it was some very, you know...
And I'm very sensitive to that.
But we had it happen to us more at the High Point Furniture Market. Yeah. Because those are some snooty-ass people there sometimes in the higher-end furniture. Like, you go in this one building... and everyone is in suits and dresses. And
marble floors.
And guess what? Your shit's going to look the same in our store as it does in those people's store.
And that's the thing.
They will eye you and they will ignore you and all kinds of things. It's quite funny that happens.
It's comical to me, but I'm a little probably more sensitive to it than a lot of people because of... you know, working in McDonald's so many years, because you would get that too. You would get
people.
Well,
now we just say, do you know who we are? We're kind of a big deal.
We are a big deal. Do you know who we are? And literally, that is something I would say.
You would say now to their face to make them uncomfortable.
Do you know who I am?
But fake it till you make it, baby.
That's why I always treat people.
Right,
nice, because you do not know if that man in the overalls is a billionaire. You know,
it's true.
He probably is, because he's smarter.
Yeah,
and you know.
But I'm not dressing up to impress you at market and being uncomfortable when I'm walking 5 miles a day for you to look me up and down and decide whether I can buy your product. Or not.
It is not happening. The only time I dress up and wear clothes that are not 100% comfortable and shoes that are not 100% comfortable, if is I'm going to your special event.
Yeah.
If I'm going to your wedding or funeral, something like that, yes, I will respect you by doing that. I'm not doing it to impress a damn soul.
Right.
Like, but I think that comes with age too. Like, I buy what
And you're bougie.
But
you only like to wear it on occasion.
I don't. I don't wear it all the time. And I don't do it to impress a damn soul.
Right.
I buy what you like.
Nice stuff and you like, yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And it's about me. And the funny thing is with me, you will rarely ever see a label on me because I don't like flashy.
Well, you do like those belts that have the big... Which one do you have on today? Gucci? Dolce and Gabbana.
Gabbana. Not Gabbana. It's not Caboose.
Gabbana.
This belt was not expensive. I got this like on a discount site.
It
was
okay. Like, expensive to you and expensive is all relevant.
It was like $200.
That is expensive for a belt. That is expensive.
I thought that was a good deal. Cause I keep my belts
for years.
4 years. I wear my shoes for years.
I see you put on your old ratty shoes to come out to the farm.
I got my beaters on today. And I love these.
What are those loafers?
These are really old. These are more than 10 years old. They're old Cole Haans. They're my favorite shoes.
Now, are these considered penny loafers? And remember when you used to put a penny in the front?
Yes, I did that.
What was that about?
These aren't penny loafers.
What's a penny loafer? And why did you put pennies in the front? That just popped in my head when I looked down.
I don't know. These aren't penny loafers. These are just drivers. But back in the day, penny loafers were a thing, and you put pennies in them.
That's what I'm saying. Did you have them in front of me? Not
pennies?
That I remember, but I feel like my brothers did.
They would have.
Yeah.
That would have been in their time. And yeah. But no, I just, you know, and I'll tell you from...
it'd be a nickel loafer these days.
It'd be a nickel.
Quarter. Yeah. Damn.
But it's funny, you know, And I'm sensitive about how you treat people like that, you know, from working for McDonald's for so many years and then becoming an owner.
Mm-hmm.
I
had to bring up McDonald's.
Yeah, I did. It's why I'm sensitive about it and I'm very careful about it. But people treated me differently from managing and working for McDonald's versus owning. And the thing is if you're going to treat me different because I own it,
yeah,
that's insulting to me.
Right.
Like,
I'm no different than I was then. Treat me different. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. That's, I don't.
And they always judge me for my age, too. That was a thing. You've lived that.
Well, that was a thing for me, too.
You know, my mother.
We were talking about that. Daniel and I were actually talking about similar to that, but I've, you know, talked about it in the past, opening a store so young. But also, like, now we're growing in, like, I'm 43, so having the stores that we have and some is not a, oh my God, you're so young anymore. And like, we bought our house, our farmhouse. I was 35 and Daniel was 30. And this is, you know, a nice, larger size house. And people would say, make remarks about, well, they still will, about why two of us need a house this size or being young and having a house.
Because I want it.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny being, you know, judged by age or look.
It is an age thing. And I, you know, it's funny. You bought your first house young too. I was 22.
Yeah.
And you were 24?
23, 24. Yeah, like 24. Yeah,
that's very young for buying your first home.
Yeah.
And I remember that. But it was funny because, like, my mother had never worked in the McDonald's business at all. She had been in higher education for her entire career.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was a bit of a fish out of water when I bought my first McDonald's, but she would drive an hour one way to help me.
As mom's will.
Yes. And it was funny because the people that own the land, where you live here in Moonville,
right,
you know, it's actually not a formal name.
It's
a family that owned all of this land.
Yeah, it's not even a community, is it?
It is a community. It is. It's like Powdersville. It is. It's Moonville. And I was like, where in the hell did they get this name? Well, the Moon family, the Miss Moon.
Well, they just live right down the street from us.
Yeah, they came in. Well, Miss Moon's passed away, but she was in her 90s. And they're very nice people. And she would come in, and because of my age, she thought that my mother owned McDonald's and that I worked for my mother. And I would never have corrected her.
Right.
And because my mother would be in there sitting down having coffee and apple pie, and I'm out there pushing the lawnmower, cutting the grass.
Right.
And so she,
it did look like.
It did. And she would come out there and she would say, I see your mother still has you working at this one. And I'd say, yes, ma'am. Because she was like in her 90s, you know, and she would drive her big full-size Jaguar right up on my grassy lawn, wherever
just
I was.
Park it wherever she wanted.
She didn't give a damn. And I would giggle and laugh. I told my mom, I was like, Miss Moon asked me if you still had me working at this one. And my mom would laugh and stare. But, you know, I didn't want to deal with her a lot, so I would sick my mom on her, and they would have coffee and
talk
and do all that, and it was fine. But, you know, the thing is, you know, I've been treated weirdly because of my age. I've been treated weirdly because of how I might dress, and it really all goes back to age and where I worked. So I'm not going to treat people like that.
Right. It's true.
I don't like it.
Everyone the same. I think I've told it on here before, or maybe not, but I remember back when I had a store in college, back in the day, and a customer came in and looked total just ratty. And, you know, for a minute, I was a little judgy, like, oh, I'm going to waste my time. But I was super nice. I've always been very, very good customer service. When I worked at the gas station.
We both are.
Hey, how's it going? But in your mind, thinking, I ain't going to make a sale here. You know what I'm thinking, you know, but I, you know, whatever. And I mean, nearly bought out the store, loaded up. Oh, yeah, I want this. I love that. And I thought, hot damn. And then after she left, I thought to myself, Wesley, you're being judgmental. But I didn't act on it or anything like that, I can say. But in my mind, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a waste of my time.
And
bought, came back the next day, bought, made the whole month for me. You know.
And I remember working at McDonald's like when I was a kid. And you probably remember this from the gas station. I can remember some of the people that came in, and you would think they were dirt poor because they always used the coupons. They were pinching pennies and stuff, and they were like the wealthiest people in the town.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me, and I was just always really nice to everybody.
It's true.
You know, and sometimes they weren't the nicest.
That is true, too. But you're there to be nice.
Yes, that's our job.
And pleasant. Mm-hmm. We need a master course in customer service these days. I think that needs to be incorporated into schooling.
Customer service needs to come back.
Public in general. It's not hard, but I think people need to recognize the way you greet someone. And, you know, it's like when you pull up to order food anywhere and it help you order.
Especially McDonald's now. I hate to say that. I know you wanted to, so I'll say it.
No, it's anywhere you go.
It is, but it's especially...
Order, and then you get up to the window, and they just hand it out, not, hey, how's it going?
Don't say thank you, kiss my ass, nothing.
Nothing.
And it
irks me.
It costs nothing to be nice.
Yeah.
And I've always said... People like giving, and I said this in a meeting at the store not long ago, people like giving their money to nice people.
Right.
Whether they're buying.
It makes them feel good about their purchase.
Yes. Whether they're buying a Big Mac or they're buying a Mercedes, be nice.
And that's why our winning personalities has gotten us this far.
Don't be an asshole. It's really not hard.
It's true.
Just be nice and treat people.
Be that asshole to like one person.
That really deserves it.
Yeah. You bottle it up and then you let it out on that one person.
That really nasty person.
That deserves it. Mm-hmm. And then you do that for all the other people that you held it in for.
Mm-hmm. And be nice. I mean.
And you're nice to 1,000 people and then you can take it out once a year on that one person.
That really needed it.
That needed it.
Because there's a few that need it.
Yes.
They need it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
But we need a whole little master class in
be nice.
Customer service etiquette.
Another pet peeve of mine is with customer service is you go to you're dining at a nice restaurant where it's going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
And you expect a higher level of service. And I don't think they realize it. It's the age group. You know, could I please get some more ranch or whatever?
Yeah.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. You just made a negative.
Right. Out of it.
Say, absolutely. I'm happy to get that for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
To make it sound eager and accommodating. Yes. But when you say,
no problem,
well.
Is there a problem?
Is there a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so sick of appreciate it. You were too lazy to even say appreciate. Just what happened? Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. But what I don't get with these people who are in customer service, and I can say this from being in customer service, is everyone is the customer at some point, whether you work in customer service or not. So those people who work in customer service with these bad attitudes, do they not go places where they get good customer service and go, oh, that was enjoyable. Maybe I should be like that when the position is flipped. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think about how someone made me feel, and I've even picked up tips along the way, you know, like, oh, that person made this one little comment and it made me feel good. I'm going to use that for other people. Because if it made me feel good, it's going to make other people feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's a customer. So how can customer service be so bad? You would think, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think my speculation is it all really tanked during COVID.
Yeah.
And that became the excuse. And now it's the norm.
Yeah.
And we've got to reverse that.
It was kind of before then, but yeah.
Yeah, it was going.
I feel like at some point, I feel like it's going to continue to go downhill, and then it's going to become more AI and automatic.
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, when I think Wendy's is already doing it, where you talk to the, you know, the speaker, and it's AI, and it's typing out what you ordered and placing your order for you.
Hate it.
It's going to go that way, but just like anything else, then someone's going to come in and off their focus will be, there's a person at our speaker. Mm-hmm. There's a person at our window. We have good customer service. And then that will flip it back to...
Well, just like self-checkouts.
Right.
It went, everybody was going to self-checkouts. And like the kiosk at McDonald's. Those kiosks at McDonald's are $18,000 a piece.
And they suck.
And they suck. And you're taking out... Like all of these companies, Walmart, CVS, McDonald's, you name it, all of them that are doing it. You're spending millions of dollars on advertising and all of these things to pull people in. And then you're giving your customer a freaking monitor.
Right.
That's your last experience. That's your last impression.
And a frustration.
Yeah.
Where the focus really needs to be on hiring
quality good people.
Quality people. Mm-hmm. And then you could mm-hmm. change the whole thing around.
But it's always been that way. It's yeah. all, you know, I think it all comes back to people and having good people.
Well, and then there's the understanding, and this is not getting into anything, but, you know, with the pay being increased so much, for some people, it is pricing them out of being able to have mm-hmm. the number of employees
it is
to mm-hmm. to actually manage a place, and it could be in any industry, from
That's
local
so
business
true.
To fast food or whatever. They're getting priced out and being forced to come up with other ways,
automation,
yeah, to run the business, because you can't pay. You know, some businesses cannot sustain what is being required to pay.
Yeah,
there's that fine line, and
you know. I mean, with our business, if there was some government mandate that we had to pay every person $10 more an hour, we couldn't do it.
No,
we would have to cut down. We would have to cut our staff,
right, and come up with other ways to run the business. Yeah. I mean,
it's just the way it is. Yeah,
yeah, and it's, you know, there's this fine line, and again, I'm not getting into anything political, but. About my thing is, not every position is meant to be a livable wage position. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some of them are meant to be offsets, or maybe it's what you do when you're in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of our positions, even in our own retail stores, where we pay the best that we can, we're way above minimum wage or anything like that.
We pay well for what the job is.
But it's meant for like, part-time employees that want to get out of the house or whatever. It's not meant to, I mean, we have certain key positions that are meant to be, you can live off of and that sort of thing, but not every position can be that.
Not if you're a cashier.
Right.
And I'm not downplaying that. It's a very needed job.
Yeah, but there's only certain positions, especially within a small business, that can run like that. So it gets very sticky situation.
It does, and just like with me and you, like I started at McDonald's at $3.25 an hour.
Or like when I worked at a gas station as a 16-year-old, I did not deserve, or that position was not meant to be making a livable,
no,
like 20-something dollar an hour position.
Right.
That was not that. That was for me as a high schooler working part-time for extra money. That's that position. That's all that position should ever be.
Right. But I took that job working the front counter at McDonald's, making $3.25 an hour, and I moved up the ladder all the way to being an owner.
That's what those positions are supposed to be. Those are entry level, usually part-time.
Climb the ladder. That's why
high school, college.
Every employee, not as I grew, but when I had one McDonald's, and then I tried to go when I had more stores and spend time, you know, if I was just eating or checking in, and at least talk to multiple employees, and I always shared my story with everybody I came in contact with.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to know this is not a dead end.
Right.
If you want it to be a dead end, it can be a dead end. If you want it to be temporary, it can be temporary. If you want it to be life-changing, it can be that too.
Right.
So, you know, and
it's
such
a fine line, because I understand, you know, people have to live and that sort of thing. But then I understand the business side of not everyone can make top dollar. And then that forces it going back to the automation, which then causes people to lose jobs, which then puts more people out of job. You know, it's
all
whole
very
balance.
Hard.
It's a whole a hard thing. So
it's all hard.
Hopefully it balances out.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've reached our destination for this week. I have got to
get out of here.
You get out. I've got things to do.
Yeah, me too.
Places to go. People to
I don't want to hear it.
And I was only
you were late.
I was late. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of Who's Driving. Remember to leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you have any feedback or comments, text or call us on our hotline, 864-982-5029. It will be down below in the show notes. And I hope everyone is having a fantastic week.
Yes.
We'll
thank you, guys.
See you next time. Bye.